Welcome to today's session of our musical pioneers and what music can do for your life. It's nice to have you with us, and I think music is a very important in everyone's life. So thank you for coming back, all of you musicians who joined me today.
Thanks for inviting us.
How are you today, Ben?
Great. I'm feeling great, and I really enjoyed talking about the musical project that this North Carolina school is doing. They're helping kids who don't have enough money to learn an instrument after school. I think that's great.
And you know, music can be a profession, but maybe it's not your profession. I know a lot of doctors, even here in Taiwan, who are also violinists and play music.
Yes.
And do you know some people like that in Taiwan?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So many people that are in professions, lawyers and doctors, they like to get together and play. That's part of your life. You don't have to just be in a symphony.
That's right.
However, a symphony is nice because you get to feel all those people playing together. Do you like playing in a symphony?
Yes, I love to.
And you know, classical music is still very valid, very good. You can use jazz, which I like jazz, and all kinds of music, but classical has some kind of a grandeur about it that lifts you up. What do you think, Campbell?
Yeah, I always appreciate good classical music. It really makes you just feel that, you know, the world is beautiful.
Well, and you know, when you learn that, you learn to play your part, like maybe the violins, they get to play most of the things, but every now and then the French horn comes in and plays, and the trumpets, two notes.
And the cymbals.
And then the cymbals, bang,
one
bang.
One note, yeah. And gone.
And you have to know when to come in, so it teaches you discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do this when you're little, now more schools in America are starting back to classical in grade school.
Oh, that's good.
Because for a while it was kind of put aside, because, you know, we like to jam and all this kind of thing, which is okay. But the classical music roots will help you and stick with you your whole life. And I think it helps you have a good feeling for all kinds of music. What do you think?
I agree. Classical music does teach you how to play together as a team, especially a group as big as 60 people.
Right.
Yeah, you learn your part, and you know you have to wait for your turn.
You have to count how many measures until your turn.
Learn
and you don't
wait.
Dare come in the wrong time. Boom. Oh,
yes.
No. It's
Which
so
I
embarrassing.
Usually did.
It's so embarrassing.
When I was younger, I was in the percussion section of the band, and it was in the back,
yes.
And I had the cymbal job.
Oh, boy.
And I just stood by that cymbal, just waiting. And I was waiting until the song had gone at least 4 minutes. And then the big part where all the instruments came up, and I started playing that cymbal, and I got it wrong.
Oh, no. If you came at the wrong
time,
be very
sad. I know that feeling.
But yeah, you have to wait your turn. You can't get
you
ahead of everyone.
You count major 49, major 50, pop,
yeah.
Oh.
And you're counting, but you're afraid. What if I counted? What if I missed a measure?
I know if you miss, it's not good either, right?
Yeah.
What about you, Campbell? Did you ever play in the symphony?
Yeah, I played in the orchestra. I played in a marching band and a symphony band. So, yeah, I definitely remember fondly those days of playing with other people.
Did you ever play, like, when you were in high school? Did you play in bands then, too?
Yeah, I did. And I grew up in New York, and we have different boroughs, different areas, and
different,
I played in our
sections of the city, right?
Yeah, and I played in our borough-wide orchestra and borough-wide band.
I played in the first Seattle Youth Symphony.
Wow.
I was 15 years old, and we had a conductor from Europe, and he was very strict. And if you would play the wrong note, he'd say, "Trumpets, you're flat." And how could he hear with all these instruments? Well, we were kind of scared, but it was good for us. When did you first play in a symphony?
I played flute.
When? I mean, when you were in high
school? Back in university.
In university.
Yes.
You didn't play it in high school.
No, no. We didn't have that in our high school.
It's kind of fun.
Yes.
In fact, our high school bands in all the schools in the city in Seattle, summertime they would have different schedules because many of the city parks would have a bandstand, and they would say, "Today the Broadway High School Band will be here," or something, and your school would play in the parks, and people would be there in the summer enjoying the park and get to hear the band play.
Wow.
That's great. I remember our family going to the park to listen to some bands.
Yeah.
It was probably Doris.
Wonderful. Maybe it was Doris.
I don't think so. No, it wasn't in Seattle, it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's nice when that's a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the young people can get together and everybody can come and hear them. Mm-hmm. And, of course, your mothers and fathers have to go and listen to you.
Right.
Right? Well, the revolution begins. Let's start on page 11 because we're talking about these kids who had not had an opportunity because they didn't have very much money. And this school teacher who taught them, she even would buy the violins for them, which is good. And she wanted them to have this experience, not just of listening, but playing. And it's one thing to like to listen to music, but it's another to play it. You're just a part of it. And you make friends for life that way, don't you?
That's right, yeah. I still have many friends.
Yeah.
Still have many friends from the days of being in band.
Right. So on page 11 today, we're going to just take the first little section that says, "The revolution begins."
The revolution begins. The goals were simple, yet profound. Teach kids to take responsibility for something of value, giving them a sense of ownership in the program. They are allowed to take smaller instruments home to practice. Encourage cooperation by placing them among children they might not otherwise know. Teach practice habits that become valuable study habits in other subjects. Expose them to arts experiences they might not get any other way.
So the revolution means this big change that comes in students' lives when they get into music. And what were some of the goals? The first one?
Well, the first goal is to teach kids to take responsibility for something of value.
Okay.
We don't want them to be taking responsibility for bad things.
No.
We want to teach them good things.
Don't get
in
a gang, join an orchestra, right?
Join an orchestra.
Yeah, that's true. And they do have more a feeling that this is my horn or my flute. I have to take good care of it. You have to learn how to clean it and everything,
yes.
Don't you?
Yes, I remember my friends, they would have to take their cellos home. It's a huge thing.
What would they do with the cellos there?
Well, they have to protect it.
Yeah.
They get on the bus very carefully.
I know. Right. Mm-hmm. I was always glad I didn't play a tuba that's so big. A trumpet's much easier to carry, right?
A tuba's got to be so heavy. But
yeah.
Also, they have ownership in the music. When they're all playing together, they have a specific role. And if they don't do that, then the whole band suffers. They
you're
need each other.
You're part of something.
You're
right?
part of something.
You're not just doing your own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's good. You have to learn to blend with other people, not be too loud or too soft. And it's good for your life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very good for your life.
Well, what about the second thing here? Do you think that it does that?
Well, definitely. Encouraging cooperation by placing them among children they may not otherwise know.
When you go to school, you're in a certain grade,
right.
And you know the people that sit near you, but you don't know all these other people. If you're in the band, you've got people from different ages and classes and what other nationalities even, don't
you? Right, in different areas, too. Uh-huh. You know, it's not just people from the same district, but you have people from all over, and you're meeting different types of people.
You know, that happens not only in school. I remember when I was in Hong Kong, I played in the Sino-British Symphony, mostly Chinese people from Hong Kong, but there were people from England, British people there, and I was the only one from America. In fact, I think I was the only girl. It was mostly guys there. But we met all these different people in Hong Kong I never would have met, but we played in the Sino-British Symphony.
I am so glad for this point that they added it here because I have a very interesting story. But my parents actually met in the high school band.
Oh, yeah.
So
well,
I'm glad that the high school, that the bands can bring people together. And maybe my parents might not have known each other if it weren't for the band.
Well, that's true, because their paths might not have crossed that
way. That's right.
And besides that, if you're musical, you get more interested in people that share that, too, don't you?
That's right. Yeah.
And that's maybe why you like it so much, too. You think so? Your parents had an influence?
I think so. We would grow, growing up, we would sing while washing the dishes, or we would sing while
we would too,
after eating dinner together. Just a lot of singing and playing instruments. So it brought us together, not just as we were practicing the music in the band, but also when I came home, being with my family. music brings people together.
It's a good family thing, right.
Definitely.
My dad used to play the guitar, my mother played the piano, and one of my brothers played the sax, and I wanted somebody to play the trombone, so I made my brother David, who was younger, learn the trombone. So we had all the instruments, and we played them together, and it was kind of fun to play in the family band, really. So it encourages them, and it also, it teaches practice habits. Do you think that helped you at all in other studies and things, Angus?
Yes, affected a lot by that habit. I can use it on other studies, too.
Right. Well, and like now, even when you're working, there's a lot of different jobs that we have. But, you know, you don't think about it as a work. If you say, let's stay after work and you play our instruments, you don't feel like you're working, but yet it's that habit of doing something valuable instead of going home and playing computer games. It gives you something valuable in your life.
That's right. So it really makes a difference and helps you to have that discipline that we were talking about earlier.
Well, now, Campbell, you have a couple of kids. Are they going to start on instruments soon?
Definitely. Definitely. My oldest daughter is now 5, so I think it's about time.
Well, she should start, yeah, like you guys did, huh?
That's right.
Well, and several of our Studio Classroom and Heavenly Melody kids, when they were 2 and 3, started in on the piano.
Wow.
And they became great musicians. One has a symphony orchestra in Chicago.
What?
And one boy that I had in a choir when he was almost 9 years old is a great musician in the States.
Hmm. Wow.
And I saw him and he said, "You taught me to love music." And I didn't even know who he was. And I found a picture and there he was in my radio choir in Hualien in 1951.
Wow.
So you infect people's lives with music in a way you can't do it any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And it exposes them to artistic types of things, doesn't it?
Exactly. In ways that they might not get. Because as an artist myself, I love to do art, and I love to do it myself. But there's a certain part of music that I can't get by myself.
Right.
Doing it with other people is a very special experience. Mm-hmm. It teaches cooperation, teamwork. It teaches humility. It teaches a lot of skills. A lot of things come from working together in music. And I would say one of the greatest things I've learned from music is communication.
Yes, right. You communicate through your music, and you have the feeling when you play, even though there's no words with the violin or the French horn or the trumpet, but you can put the feeling into your music, can't you?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in a conversation, it's not just the words that you use that are communicating, but the emotions that you're showing with your face and a lot of the different body language. We call this body language because our body is actually speaking a language. And I feel like music has allowed me to become more sensitive to
express,
different languages.
Yeah, express.
To express and to understand what the other person is meaning with their body.
So right. That's really a good thing right there, is why music matters. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to read about in the next section. Let's just take that column to the bottom of the page and find out more about why the music matters.
Why the music matters. Nathaniel brings a lot of positivity to the room. He's all smiles every day, says Erica Hefner, who teaches Justice and Nathaniel in her 6th grade string class at NWSA. Justice takes music very seriously. He sees music as something that can take him a long way, Hefner adds. Justice recalls the adage of violin teacher Shinichi Suzuki, "Practice only on the days you eat." In other words, daily. He tries to stick by it and finds that this philosophy helps in other ways. "I didn't always do my homework as well as I should have, and now I know better. I have started reading more too, and I like it. What I have learned from music has gone over into my other classes." The two musicians will get extensive coaching at NWSA. In addition to the school's own resources, the symphony provides 220 hours of coaching each year in orchestral, band, and chamber music classes, according to Chris Stonnell, CSO Director of Education.
Now you notice on page 10 there's pictures of several students there, and one of them is Justice Crawford, and it looks like a black boy, and he's there with the other different people. You meet all kinds of people in that. And then there's Nathaniel, and he's sitting there with the cello. And it says Nathaniel brings a lot of positivity to the room. Why? How does he do that?
He's all smiles every day.
He looks so happy because he's there playing. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, he's probably having a good time, and he's just showing it to everyone else. He's probably smiling and laughing and having a good time.
And this is what his teacher, she teaches Justice and Nathaniel in her sixth grade string class at this school.
Right. So when we're talking about strings, we're talking about instruments with strings like the violin, the cello, the bass. So this is a class where students are being taught how to play stringed instruments.
If you like classical music, you realize that the violins get to play most of the time. The trumpets have to wait
Very
to play
true.
Five notes. And then,
yes.
You know, if you want to have the trumpets play a lot, you join the marching band. Or
right.
The band, not
right.
the orchestra.
But the thing about the trumpet is you can play in an orchestra, you can play in a band, you can play in a jazz band, you can play a lot of
right.
different music.
You've got to stand up for the trumpet players, right? But, you know, these kids, especially this Justice, he takes his music very seriously. He's just a young kid. But probably he wouldn't take anything very seriously, but his music means a lot to him, doesn't it?
Yeah, often if somebody finds success in a small way, they'll feel that there's hope and there's a future for that. And perhaps Justice, maybe he didn't have much success in other things, but because of this music and because he's finding a little bit of success, he takes it very seriously. He sees this as something that he can make a future out of. Maybe he could become a professional musician.
Right.
So this is a great opportunity for
a lot of kids. It takes him a long way, doesn't
right.
it? Right?
Yeah, remember these are children from low-income families,
right.
and a lot of times they don't have the opportunities other people have. And so having these skills, he sees that, hey, I have this skill now that I can maybe take with me and use it to help
That's
me
true.
Succeed.
Well, the next paragraph mentions about a person who became very famous. He was a violin teacher, Suzuki. And we still have some Suzuki schools of learning, don't we?
I think so. There are some in Taipei.
Yes. Yeah.
I took Suzuki method for piano.
Mm. And what did they teach you, just to play without being too worried about what you're playing or what?
There's just different ways of the way they explain the music
mm-hmm.
and the rudiments of music.
You thought that was very helpful.
It definitely helped me a
and
lot.
He's a violin teacher. But I thought that was pretty interesting because they might say, well, how often should we practice, you know? twice a week or when you exercise, you know, and this, how often should you practice?
It says, practice only on the days you eat.
Practice only on the days you eat.
Which is what? Every
which
day,
is,
right?
Three times a day. You know?
Yes.
That was a pretty good idiom. How often should you exercise? Well, exercise the every day you eat.
That's great.
I thought that was a pretty good phrase. And remember, Suzuki said that.
Right.
That's an interesting quote, I think.
That's
we
right.
We should put that on one of our quotes.
Yeah,
know?
We see the word adage there. So an adage is just a saying or a quote, as Doris was saying.
Mm-hmm. In other words, daily, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he tries to stick by that. And then it also helps in other ways. How else did that help him?
I think it helps him to do his homework and it helped him read more.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think so. I think, you know, you start to get more interested in reading things and,
mm-hmm.
and everything takes, not just sitting there at the computer screen all the time, right?
Yes.
Or your cell phone, right? Started reading more.
That's right. He says he didn't always do his homework as well as he should have, but now he knows better. Right, and that idiom.
I kind of feel like I'm like that. I didn't always do my homework. Did you always do your homework like you should?
Oh, no, Doris. I spent all my time playing music instead of doing my homework.
Well, I don't know whether we should say that or not. Because
no, no.
You know, we need to do a little both. But I know it was a lot more fun, though.
It's always difficult to do things that we don't like to do. Of course, if you're doing something and you get inspired and you start to do something, but then eventually it gets difficult and you don't want to continue it. You don't want to follow through. But playing with other people with music, you have to follow through. You have to from
you
the start to finish.
You can sit there for a couple hours and not be worried, but if you sit there looking at a book for a couple hours, you get tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think music teaches a lot of perseverance because
right.
to play.
What do you think, Angus?
It does.
Did you have that personal experience?
Yes. I had to play flute for an hour and piano for an hour. That's 2 hours taken away from my evening.
Oh, my goodness. That's a good part of the evening, right? Well, what about your other subjects then? Did you have to, you know, memorize all your, whatever you call it, algebra and mathematics? And how did you get through with all that?
I was pretty glad. I'm pretty glad I spent my years, my high school years in England. So it wasn't that stressful.
Okay, yeah. Because you didn't have to go to school all day long. I mean, you get off. What time? About
around three or four.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? Yeah. I like what he says, that what he's learned from music has gone over into his other classes. You know, I think that the skills you learn from playing music and practicing can definitely help you in other areas as well.
Right, that's true. And in these schools, you can play together in a symphony, but they usually have practice rooms where you can go into by yourself and work on your part, too. So it kind of works together. You have to do something on your own. But they have the school's resources, but the symphony outside of the school, they provide more things, too.
These two musicians, so we're talking about Nathaniel and we're talking about Justice, they will get extensive coaching at NWSA.
220 hours of coaching a year in the band and the chamber music. Now, what's the difference in a band and an orchestra again?
Well, orchestras mainly consist of string instruments, but band...
Band doesn't have violins. Usually the clarinets and the sax play that.
Yes, yes.
So when you get to an orchestra, that's when you have the violins. And what about chamber music?
Chamber music, some people say, like a rock band has maybe four or five instruments, and it has a guitar, a bass. Well, some people call the chamber music the band, the rock band of the orchestra. So it's just a couple instruments together.
Well, it's mostly violins. They don't have a lot of brass in it.
Yeah.
Chamber music is mostly stringed instruments, isn't it?
Right.
Smaller group from the big
quartet,
orchestra.
Trio, sometimes.
You're right.
Yeah, three,
well,
four,
a chamber
five.
Is a smaller room,
right.
So it's just kind of a...
Sure,
a
smaller orchestra,
yeah,
really.
Smaller orchestra.
Okay, well, let's read the last paragraph now.
There are obstacles to coming here, says Hefner. Not all kids are ready for auditions. Parents have to get children to shuttle stops for buses. That doesn't always work if both parents have jobs, or it's a single-parent family. But we want to build a bridge with Winterfield that brings more students here, where we can give them musical continuity. They might get lost in the shuffle elsewhere. Then we'll never know how good they could really be.
Now, when you want to go to these classes and things like that, there are certain obstacles. There's things to overcome. And what are some of the obstacles?
Right, there are obstacles to coming there. Not all kids are ready for auditions. So, you know, a lot of kids, they've never had music lessons before. So how can we tell who is talented in music and who's not?
Well, sometimes they have a hard time getting to where these things are because they have to get the children, especially if they're younger kids, to where they go. They have to take a shuttle bus to get there, and they don't know how to go there by themselves, and their parents are both working, and especially single-parent families. And some of these poorer families, that could be a problem, couldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, in most families you can arrange this, but that could be one obstacle. But what do they want to do there at that school? They want to build a bridge, don't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
But I can't tell here, I don't know if you could tell, whether this is metaphorical or literal, a bridge. Are they saying actually building a bridge?
No, they want to
physically
build a connection with
yes.
the
connection,
school.
Of course. Right. That's not a real bridge. Then when you say build a bridge, it means that you build a connection between this that brings more students there so they can continue with their music, not just a little bit here and there, but they want to have this continuity, which just means to keep it going on and not stopping.
Right. So the idea here is that this Northwest School of the Arts wants to continue to build a connection with this Winterfield Elementary and bring up these students, train them from elementary school so that eventually they can enter into this art school.
Well, they don't want to get lost in the shuffle. That's an interesting phrase.
Right.
What does it mean to be lost in the shuffle?
When you get lost in the shuffle, you think of this crowd and everyone's moving forward and you kind of, you can't find the one person.
Where's that kid that was so good on the piano? Well, he didn't continue. Mm. So don't let your kids get lost in the shuffle.
And the word shuffle comes from shuffling cards. So if you're shuffling cards, there's a lot of cards and you're trying to find that one card, but as you're shuffling it, it gets lost in the deck, and you can't find
it
anymore.
Yeah, that's right. So that means that they just disappear from the music scene, and they'll never know how good they could really be because they didn't have the opportunity. So don't let your kids get lost in the shuffle. Keep them going forward. Did your parents encourage you in your music at all, Angus, or not?
They did. They did.
What about yours?
Oh, yeah, they made me practice every day.
Yeah, sometimes I didn't want to practice either, but, you know, you have to practice if you're taking lessons.
Yeah, my family encouraged us by doing it with us, so we all did music together.
That's always a good way to do it, and some of these new methods of teaching have the mother sit down while the kid plays the piano. So be prepared, but help your kids get started in classical music, in learning music, when they're very young, even 5 or 9 or 10, don't wait till they're 20. It's too late.
It's too late.
Okay, so I hope that we've gotten some inspiration and some good ideas, and maybe you can start a group in your place and have a part in that.
Okay.
So thank you for coming today, everyone.
Thank you, Doris.
And remember, keep music in your life, and music is the language of the soul. So we'll see you all for another kind of program tomorrow. But don't forget the music one, okay?
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.